invite you to sit down, and if you have your Bible or Bible app with you, to pull that out, and would you join me in Mark chapter 6? We're going to be in Mark 6 today. Do you remember being a child, and the end of the school year is drawing near, and you finally get to the last day of school, and all you can think about is summer vacation spread out in front of you? It's the last day of school for me today, folks. Sabbatical starts tomorrow. And I'm not saying that to make anyone in here feel bad. I wish every single one of you got a sabbatical. But the practice in our church has been every 7 years, sabbatical comes. And so next month will be 21 years that I've been here at Fletcher Hills, which blows my mind. And so what that means is this is the third time that I've gone on sabbatical. And sabbatical is something beautiful. It's beautiful for the one who goes because it's a blessing. There's replenishment, there's refreshment, there's a recalibration. And the whole design is as I rejoin you in August in that state, not haggard like I am right now, I am prepared for a whole new season of ministry. And yet, in my absence across the next 3 months, you are going to be blessed as a community by a number of different preachers who are going to come in and help lead in worship, and also, of course, by your elders and deacons and others who lead faithfully all the time. When it comes to the preaching while I'm gone, a man named Scott Wildy, who serves as associate pastor at Flood Church here in San Diego, he is going to be preaching 9 of the 13 Sundays that I'm gone. He is going to be walking you through Romans chapter 8. It is an absolutely amazing chapter in an amazing book, and I think you are going to be blessed by his enthusiasm, by the depth of his wisdom, and he is so excited to come here and be among you preaching during that time. There are 4 other Sundays outside of those 9 that Scott is going to be preaching. 2 of them will be covered by a woman named Grace Wilkinson, who used to serve as a pastor at Flood and now serves as a spiritual director, among other things. And she snuck in a few weeks ago and looked around and checked all of you guys out. So she knows what's in store, and she has that spiritual formation background. I wouldn't be surprised if the messages she brings are going to have to do with that. And we're good at that. We're good at spiritual practices here at Fletcher Hills, so I'm sure that'll be a blessing. Also, my friend Jason Fuson, who was the naval chaplain, recently retired. Now he's going to be back with us for 1 week preaching as well. And the final preacher I'm really excited about. His name is Joel Harlow. I went to seminary with Joel. Joel was a pastor for a season. Joel now owns his own contracting business. And Joel and I ride bikes together every single Friday. He's a huge blessing in my life. He's spying on you right now back in that row. Will you wave your hand, Joel? It's great to have you with us today, Joel. Joel will be a blessing as well. He'll actually be 2 Sundays before I return. So he'll have some sort of wisdom for you on that Sunday as well. But that's the scope of things, and you guys are going to be doing great. I'm going to be doing great, and I'm going to miss you, but I can't wait to be back together with you in August. The first week I'm back is the first week, or is the week of VBS, so it's going to be a right at it kind of re-entry into ministry, and I can't wait for that experience. So for my last sermon before I go, I was trying to think of what I could talk about this week, and I decided I want to talk about the concept of retreat. The concept of retreat. Retreat is not limited to pastors who go on sabbatical. Sure, I'm going to have some retreats while I'm gone on the sabbatical, but retreat is this beautiful invitation that comes from God to draw away into the presence of God for rest and refreshment. And I think it's an invitation from God that we don't say yes to often enough. And it's Jesus himself who issues that invitation, and Jesus himself in his life and ministry modeled the importance of retreat beautifully. And so I want to spend a few minutes talking about that today. So we're going to start in Mark chapter 6, and I'm going to read starting in verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, Jesus said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we are inspired by you, inspired by your life, inspired by your ministry, encouraged and inspired by your resurrection, conquering over death and making that possible for each of us. This morning, as we look into the Gospel of Mark, we desire to see your example of retreat. We desire to understand more deeply the beauty of the invitation that you give to your disciples here, but also to every single one of us to draw away and to draw near to you. And so I pray that in these next few minutes, as we look into your word, you would give each of us eyes to see just what you want us to see. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it might be helpful if I gave a little bit of context for those couple verses I just read so that we can understand really what's going on. All of this would make a little more sense if I read to you verses 6 through 13 of that same chapter. This came ahead of time. It says, "Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. You see, this idea of retreat, it's built upon a rhythm of engagement and withdrawal. And we see in these verses the engagement in verses 6 through 12 that I just read. Jesus pulling his disciples together, telling them they've seen enough of his ministry. Now it's their chance to do much of what Jesus was already doing. And so he sends them out. We're not given details of exactly how long they were out doing this, but it seems like it was a substantial mission for them. Out doing the work of God, engaging the world with the things that God sent them to give. But then in verses 30 to 32, on the other side of that work, of that mission, is this idea of withdrawal. But we need to keep these things in balance, engagement and withdrawal. Either can become dangerous when they're overemphasized. As a culture, we probably over-engage more than we over-withdraw. Over-engagement seems to be the way people live in the world today. There's always something going on. There's always something buzzing, and we get caught up in that pace. And it's quite frenetic for some of us, and that can be really, really poor for our souls. But on the other hand, withdrawing too much, cocooning too much, and not engaging the world the way God has called us to, and in a way that's healthy, where we can be a blessing to others, can also be a danger to our souls. There's a balance, a rhythm that needs to be established between engagement and withdrawal, and Jesus seems to be calling each of us to do just this. So let's consider for a moment the withdrawal that Jesus engages with our disciples here. They had just returned from the adventure of a lifetime. And I have to imagine after they've been sent out and empowered by the Spirit and they're casting out demons and doing all of these things, that when they came back together, they had some stories to tell. They wanted to talk about what happened, how God used them. It was an amazing time of engagement. So the stories to tell about God's movement, questions for one another about what they saw on their unique journey, and probably questions for Jesus about how all of this works. And is this what we're going to be doing from now on? It must have been a wonderful gathering as they all pulled together. But Mark tells us that so many people were coming and going that our disciples couldn't even find a moment to eat. And so it's in that moment that Jesus proposes a retreat, a simple one-line invitation. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Sometimes when I'm struggling to engage this particular spiritual practice, I try to imagine Jesus walking up to me, as he did to the disciples here, and putting a hand on each of my shoulders and looking deeply into my eyes and issuing that invitation. Come with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest. Would I respond differently? Would I be more eager? Would I make more time for this kind of retreat if I look Jesus in the eye as he issued this invitation? It's beautiful that he notices what's happening to his disciples and that in that moment he offers them exactly what they need. But this wasn't a brand new idea. This practice of retreating was something that Jesus already did. In fact, we see it in the Gospels all the way through, examples of Jesus practicing this sort of thing. Let's take a look at a couple examples. Matthew 4, 1 through 11 is one of those. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Doesn't sound like the kind of retreat we're looking for, right? But this was a retreat that Jesus went on. This one was intense. It was 40 days and 40 nights, and it was in preparation for his earthly ministry. So he'd grown up, and he was beginning to finally engage this full time, and retreat was what he needed in that moment for his soul to be prepared for what was to come. Mark 1:35 gives another example. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed, not just early, but very early, and for the purpose of communing with God in prayer. Jesus isn't teaching his disciples at this point about this. He's just doing it. He's modeling it. And the disciples are having a chance to see this rhythm, this practice of withdrawal and engagement in Jesus. Luke 4:42 gives another example. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. We see it again and again. And I don't think there's anything hyper-spiritual about the daybreak or very early in the morning. It's probably the only way he could escape the people around him. And sometimes we have to get creative when we're doing this sort of thing as well. If we want time alone with our Savior, we might have to research into the times and places that are going to make that possible. How about Luke chapter 6, verse 12? One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. So he went to a remote location and prayed intensely to God. And on this occasion, he returned from his night of prayer, and that's when he selected his 12 disciples who had formed the core of his ministry during his time here on earth. How about Matthew 14:23? After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. On and on and on, we have the examples of Jesus retreating into the presence of his heavenly Father, knowing he needs that rhythm of withdrawal and engagement to stay healthy and to stay connected to his God. This was a regular practice in Jesus's life, a practice that he now invites his disciples into in today's passage. And once again, his invitation is so simple. Come with me, Jesus says. Come with me. This is about time in the presence of Jesus, plain and simple. And we enter into his presence, never barging in, never disturbing him, never trying his patience. He is open. He is available. He welcomes us always into his presence. Come with me by yourselves. I think in essence, the retreat that we were made for is something that we do by ourselves. And that might feel intimidating for us. We might want to bring a couple buddies along because we're not used to doing this. Or maybe a whole group of people because what am I going to do once I get there? Am I going to be bored? Am I going to know how to do this thing? But I think going by ourselves, knowing that we will not be alone, that we will be there in the presence of Jesus, is an essential piece of the rest, the refreshment, the replenishment that Jesus is wanting to give to us. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place. In the case of the disciples, they were going to a solitary place, a deserted place. And for us, if we're trying to find a way to practice this in our lives, we might establish a place that works the best. It could be at our home, it could be in our backyard, our favorite spot at the beach, it could be almost anywhere, as long as it's a place that is quiet like this. And a unique challenge for us in the world today is that quiet doesn't always have to do with the people around us. Quiet has to do with that computer that we carry around in our pockets. Quiet has to do with technology that we almost never turn off. And when Jesus calls us into a retreat, I think he calls us to set all that stuff down. The ways that we find a quiet space is we set it all down. And then he says, and get some rest. Rest for body, mind, and soul. And Jesus uses a unique word for rest there. It's anapao in Greek. It means to cease from labor in order to recover and collect strength. He wants our best. He invites us to join him in that space where he can replenish every aspect of who we are, our God who knows us better than we even know ourselves. The purpose here to be physically and spiritually restored to hear God's voice in ways that we could never during our normal rhythm, to seek God's will if we're in a time of decision, to worship our God undisturbed, and to express trust in God. Every time that we choose to withdraw, that we set down some of our responsibilities, we admit to God, and really we admit to the world's not going to stop spinning because I'm not here. This church is not going to stop functioning while I'm gone for 3 months. You're probably going to even do better without me. We are not as essential as we think we are, and God wants us to express a trust in the things that we're responsible for. He can take care of them for a while so that you can draw near to Him and be replenished in this way. Now, do you remember that rhythm that we talked about a few moments ago about withdrawal and engagement? It's about to start again for the disciples. Engagement happens again for them far sooner than the disciples might have hoped. Take a look at verse 33 up on the screen. Many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. Womp, womp. Jesus gives them a personal invitation to go on a retreat. I can't imagine how excited these disciples were. They clamber into the boat. They sail across the body of water on their way to this deserted place where they're going to experience who knows what, because Jesus knows what He's doing. And then as they get closer and closer, the crowds have followed them and are waiting on the shore. And I can't imagine the level of disappointment they must have felt entering in. Now, Jesus was not disappointed. If you read even further in the text, He has compassion on these crowds. And then He feeds thousands of them on this occasion. But the disciples maybe were thinking, some retreat that was, Jesus. And there are some people that say that Jesus' plan was foiled. He was trying to do something in particular, but it was foiled by the people. His plans came to nothing, but I disagree with that. I don't know how long it took them to sail that day, 30 minutes, 60 minutes, 90 minutes. That was the retreat, the time with Jesus on the water. That was what it was going to be on this occasion. And if we're honest, that type of truncated retreat is probably more in line with what most of our lives are like on a daily basis, right? If we sit down and talk about retreat, you're thinking, yeah, you don't know my life, Kevin. You don't know my schedule. You don't know what's going on. There's no way I'm going to draw away for several days to be able to retreat with all that I am bearing, all my responsibilities. Well, the truth is, retreats come in so many shapes and forms. And I think in most of our lives, we won't have the luxury to pull away for long periods of time. But we do have the ability, if we choose to pull away for 30 minutes. Or 60 minutes, or 90 minutes. It might even be in your office at work. It might even just be in a special room in your house. It might just be a walk that you go on where you get to draw away with Jesus into His presence, into a quiet space where He can fill you again, and He can bless you again, and He can provide for you the rest that your soul needs. I want to give you some homework this week. I know it's not fair. I'm leaving, going traveling, having fun. I'm giving you guys homework. I want to give you homework this week because I want you to take a retreat this week. I want you to take a retreat this week. Grab your Bible, grab some pen and paper, or take nothing at all. The point is finding the time and space to pull away, to withdraw into the presence of your Savior, a Savior who is waiting for you and waiting to replenish your soul. Sometimes, though, we need permission to do something like this. We don't even feel like we're allowed to do this. It's too exorbitant. It just won't work. And so I want to personally give every one of you permission this week to retreat, to withdraw from all that you're doing in your life for some period of time into the waiting presence of Jesus. Each of your retreats is going to look entirely unique. That has to do with you, who you are, how you're wired, what your life is like. But I guarantee you, if you decide to do something like this and you pull away, Jesus will be waiting. And when you do, I want you to ask Him to speak to you about how He wants to use the ongoing practice of retreat to transform you. This divine invitation that comes from God is something we don't want to miss, something we don't want to refuse. Something that we want to build into our lives because it will bring us the transformation our God desires. Amen? Let me pray for us. Jesus, You are so available to us. And while at times we lament that you seem far away, our lives and our schedules are sometimes distancing us from you. You invite us to draw away into your presence in a solitary place so that you can refresh us, so you can refill us, so you can transform us. And in each new day, that invitation is renewed. So I pray for all of us. I pray that we consider this invitation, the privilege it is, the joy it should bring us, and we would say yes. We would draw away, not just this week for homework, but you would help us to see what a rhythm like this could look like in our day-to-day lives. We love you, Jesus. We feel your love in this invitation. Meet us as we retreat with you. I pray all of these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.